Chapter 1. When Joanna opened the car door, the irresistible aroma of cooking food, most likely a beef stew, filled the garage, and she uttered a small prayer of thanks for the presence of Carol Sunderson in their lives. Carol was Joanna and Butch's not-quite-live-in nanny housekeeper. Years earlier, Carol and her physically disabled husband, Leonard, had been living in a rented and extremely decrepit mobile home while caring for two preteen boys, grandchildren who'd been abandoned by their drug-addicted daughter. Leonard had perished in a house fire caused by a faulty electrical circuit that their landlord could and should have corrected. The fire had left Carol and the two boys, Danny and Rick, homeless. All this had come about several months after Joanna and Butch had moved from High Lonesome's original ranch house into the new one they'd had built a little farther up the road. For a time, they'd had renters in the old house, but when the renters decamped within days of the Sunderson mobile home fire, Joanna had suggested letting Carol and her grandsons live there for free. Carol Sunderson might have been poor, but she was also proud. Unable to afford rent of any kind, but disinclined to accept charity, she had offered to help out in the Brady Dixon household in lieu of paying rent. Joanna had encouraged Carol to take her former landlord to court, where, years later, he'd been held liable for damages in Leonard Sunderson's death. A court-awarded settlement had improved Carol's financial situation immeasurably, but her living arrangement with Joanna and Butch remained in place. She and the boys continued to live rent-free in Joanna's old house while Carol helped out as needed in the new one. The grandsons, Rick and Danny, were almost grown. Rick was a senior in high school. He had a driver's license, an old clunker of a car, and a part-time job in town delivering pizza. Danny, a sophomore, was currently making a name for himself on Bisbee High School's varsity basketball team. With her boys able to come and go relatively independently, Carol was a daily calming presence in Butch and Joanna's busy home. Joanna's position as sheriff called for long hours at times, and without Carol's logistical assistance in terms of household management, Butch wouldn't have been able to write books, much less go on tour. Joanna entered the house via the laundry room, pausing there long enough to stow her weapons in the gun safe. Once that was done, she closed the metal shutters that covered the exterior windows and doors. High Lonesome Ranch was located at the base of the Mule Mountains, on the far western edge of the Sulphur Springs Valley. As the crow flies, the two houses were less than 10 miles from the border with Mexico. In recent years, because of the drastic increase in cartel-related smuggling, living there had become riskier. That was the reason Butch and Joanna had installed rolling shutter systems and security window screens on both houses. Joanna had always loved sleeping with the windows open, so sleeping in what amounted to a locked vault wasn't her first choice, but better to be safe than sorry. Entering the warm kitchen, Joanna found herself in a kind of controlled bedlam. Sage, squealing with delight, rocketed around the room in her walker, leaving behind a trail of Cheerios. Lucky, the deaf black lab Jenny had rescued years earlier, followed dutifully in Sage's tracks, sniffing out and scarfing up abandoned Cheerios as he went. Carol stood at the counter, dishing stew out of their relatively new programmable pressure cooker into a serving bowl, while a frowning Denny concentrated on setting the table. He stood at Joanna's end of the kitchen nook with a table knife in his right hand and with that hand placed over the left side of his heart. That way, he could be sure the knife would be placed on the correct side of his mother's plate. "Soup's almost on," Carol announced. "You might want to get Sage out of the car, change her, and strap her into the high chair." "Will do," Joanna said, giving the housekeeper a mock salute before capturing the child, lifting her out of the walker and heading for the nursery. A few minutes later, as Joanna strapped Sage into her high chair, she noticed that the table was set for only four. On nights like this, Carol usually cooked enough for everybody, and her crew ate here in the kitchen right along with everyone else. "The boys aren't coming?" Joanna asked. "Rick's working and Danny has a basketball game."